When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Joe. I just want to say the first 15 seconds of this episode were lost, so I'm going to play the theme and we're just going to go straight into the show in progress. You don't really miss much, but you do miss the introduction of our guest, who's a very funny man, and he's a writer for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. His name is Cullen Crawford, and he's an old friend of mine, so this is a good episode. Hope you enjoy it.
Yes, but you're in town from New York, and
I am.
I feel like you and I have had a lot of, like you said, we've had a lot of conversation about rock, and I feel like you also make a lot of, like, on Twitter, I feel like half your jokes are like, Jimi Hendrix is stupid.
Jimi Hendrix, look, is stupid.
Yeah.
He's very good at guitar, but he's very stupid. But yeah, I'm like constantly like, what if Bob Seger wrote a space album or, you know.
Right. You've written a fake songs. And posted lyrics to fake Cure songs and like fake Will Smith songs, and they're very funny.
I think about old rock and roll a lot.
Yeah, that old time rock and roll.
The old time rock and roll.
Yeah.
Cullen, what do you know about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame beyond what I've told you in the past?
Yeah, I was going to say, and how much of it is from Joe Quazala's straight to your brain?
So I was actually telling Joe this yesterday when we planned everything. We wrote the podcast yesterday.
Yeah, we're following the script to a T right now.
Wow.
Including this fourth wall breaking.
Riveting.
But I was telling him when I was like 10, I would just look at pictures of guitars and like anything even related to rock and roll.
Wait, really?
Was cool. Yeah.
Oh.
And so like even like Hard Rock Cafe and Rock and Jingle Bell Rock, I was like, oh yeah, this song rocks.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Well, and I relate to that. The idea of being like a kid and you're like, oh, all this stuff is lame. Like the idea of like if you're in second grade and like they're playing like Christmas carols and you're like, this lambs, then they're like, hey guys, we're gonna put on Jingle Bell Rock. That's like a very easy signifier of like, okay, things are about to get cool.
This is not your dad's Jingle Bells.
Except that it really is. Like,
yes,
rock is extremely. The most dad thing that there ever was. That is so funny. My friend babysits an 8-year-old girl right now, and they went to a cake decorating place yesterday, and the little girl was like, okay, I want my cake to have, I want it to be gold, I want it to have leopard print on it, on the side, I want it to say chic, and then I want them to put a pair of lips and a high heel on top. And I was like, oh my God, that is like the lamest thing I could think of. You know what I mean? But she thinks it's like the epitome of cool and like femininity and like blah, blah, blah. And like you guys are little boys and you're like, yeah, a guitar is so cool and rock and roll is very cool.
Like, just anything.
Like, so that is really funny.
I have to admit, when you were explaining this cake, I thought it was cool.
Ooh,
chic. I was like, ooh, she knows what's cool. I thought the story was going to be about how a young girl is mature.
For the listeners, Joe is holding up his chic knuckle tattoos right now.
Right, yeah.
The other one says cool.
Chic and cool, yeah. And I put them together, tried to be intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird what we think when we don't quite know what cool is yet, but we have some things that are so like over the top supposed to be cool. And as a kid, you can be like, okay, yeah,
but
for sure.
I also think that that's like an old fashioned version of what is cool when you were young. Cause like when you guys were that age, it was like they were trying to tell you that like skateboards and Go-Gurt was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and like Mountain Dew is cool.
Yes, for sure.
But like not this is a probably, guitar and a rock and roll.
This is probably pre Go-Gurt world, to be fair. But no, I mean, like when we were like very young, it was like Nirvana was like the coolest thing.
Yes.
We are like the generation where like our cool things were rock. But then that was...
It was very... Like, I, you know, like probably all of us streamed MTV constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And just the like switch between...
Wait, you just said streamed though. That's
streamed
really
Streamed it into
funny.
My brain. Yes.
Yeah, by watching it on the
yeah,
television.
Like on television,
on a
complete
tube.
With commercials.
Analog
and just
streaming.
Really kept watching and was like, what's next on TRL? What's going to be in the top 10?
But I was like equally enthusiastic about like... Duhast, and then Puff Daddy would come on. I was like, this is cool. The Spice Girls are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, there was like, there wasn't as much room for niching back when, I mean, it was before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Correct.
And they're just, so that is why I know why it's not, but it is true. And it's like when Carl was on and he was talking about how his dad would watch MTV. And so his dad mm-hmm. would watch MTV waiting for them to play a Prince video. But yeah. in the meantime, he's like watching Duran Duran and Aerosmith. And like, so it made him like
a fan of these things by default, yeah. just because, you know,
he's just like
Carl
familiar.
Tart's dad is waiting to yeah. see Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that I watched like VH1 constantly, so that was how I knew about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm,
which
yeah.
is like an old man channel even then.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Hey, do you have any, did you think that you've seen the like induction ceremonies like back in the day? Any recollection? Cuz VH1 used to air it.
I probably watched it in between mm-hmm. like Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Jeff Probst, I think.
I think that sounds right to me.
That sounds right. I just remember Mark McGrath like destroying everyone.
Yeah, on Celebrity Rock and Roll
oh,
Jeopardy.
You're right. That's the only one I remember. They mm-hmm. had regular people on Rock and Roll Jeopardy?
That's yes. what it was. And then they had a celebrity version.
Oh.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to go on that show, but alas, I was 13.
Like you're hanging out outside with your catcher's mitt. Like,
yeah, like put me in, coach. Come on. Because I was good at it, as you can yeah. imagine, as the weirdest preteen at that time.
Joe the Bobby Fischer tried... of Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Well, the answer is Mark Knopfler. Come on.
The answer is, who is Mark Knopfler? Oh,
oh, damn it. I've got the knowledge, but I don't have the cadence.
So, yeah, I was aware of it as just like, rock and roll is good. This is mm-hmm. The house of...
Rock and roll is here to stay. It will never die.
I lumped it in with, you remember the Experience Music Project?
What?
No.
In like Seattle?
What on earth is that?
I don't know if it still exists. It's
Are you from Seattle or were you just following grunge at the time?
This was just another building dedicated to music that I thought was cool.
Oh, don't get the hall confused with the building, the hall.
Yes, we talked about
it. Yeah, Paul and I talked about this yesterday.
Okay, good. I'm glad you
They are the same
him.
Thing, and whatever you say, they are the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, no, they are the same thing, but don't tell Joe that, or we'll have to listen to him talk about it.
All right, everybody sit down. I have a PowerPoint presentation.
What is this experience?
So it was maybe like the year 2000. This was like this kind of a, it was that era, and it was like this weird lumpy, cool looking building in Seattle where
a lumpy building.
It's a weird look.
Lumpy like Epcot?
Like
lumpy like
that's like geometric lump.
Yeah. Who's that?
Lumpy like a hobbit hole? Like a
It looked like a blob made out of metal. You should Google it. Mm-hmm. And it was very much of that era, and it was like there was stuff about Jimi Hendrix there, and I think you could like stand on a virtual stage with a crowd that was cheering for you and stuff.
This was like also before Rock Band, the game.
Yeah,
existed.
There's the lumpy building.
Whoa, oh, you know
it's
what
a
it
Frank,
looks
it's
like?
It's a Frank Gehry.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it looks like what's it called? That's the same guy who did the Grand downtown
in LA. Yes.
Yeah, I can't think
hall.
Of it. The music hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves lumpy That's, music.
That
buildings.
Really looks like,
yeah,
very
like,
similar.
You know,
to it.
Structures that look like they're fabric.
Like yeah, like ghosts. curvy.
It looks like
silver.
The three Pac-Man ghosts.
Yes.
It does. Look it up, guys. Follow along. We'll post something on Twitter. Joe will post a link to it.
But we shouldn't. Completely dismiss what Colin said, which was that you could go and pretend to be a rock star.
Yes.
Wait. Yeah.
Like, what
did
sort
you
of,
go to it?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
but I
did. You dream about it?
Was I probably that... cut a picture of it out of like a. Musician's Friend magazine
little,
or whatever.
Wait, okay, really quick. Did you have like a little rock and roll vision board?
Oh, yeah. My like every, I would cut
this
out
like.
This
is very dear to me. Like, I find this quite adorable.
And was totally, I didn't pick and choose. It'd be like a Chet Atkins like 1945 guitar. I was like, yep, that's cool.
It's a guitar. It counts.
Put it on the wall.
Chet Atkins, Trace Adkins.
Yes.
Equally cool.
In first grade, I, as an art project, built a scale model of a Hard Rock Cafe.
What?
Yeah.
Which one?
It was, I just.
Just a general.
Yeah. It was
like,
my,
oh,
my
your
fantasy
own personal
one.
Generic.
One? Your personal one. Well, you know, they're all pretty much the same.
Right.
Just the memorabilia is a little different.
But I made like a giant, like fake neon guitar, and I thought it was super cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in third grade, I entered an art contest at the bank of. You know, art contest at the bank?
No. I mean, it weirdly makes sense somehow.
Yes.
And it was like, what would you do if we gave you a savings bond? And I made a bass guitar with, I used real strings for the strings, like cut it out of paper, and won a $50 savings bond, and then bought a shitty bass guitar with it.
Wait, okay. You did use it and you bought a bass guitar?
Yes. I don't know why I chose bass guitar.
It's almost like you were at that point tired of regular guitar, of worshiping the regular guitar.
Yeah, you had spent too long at the altar of the regular guitar.
I think it's contrarian, like, you went with a bass guitar.
Contrarian is like the nice thing. I think it's like, well, I can never be the leading man, but I can maybe be in a
band. Oh, you were already hedging your bets.
Exactly. An inferiority complex about being in a rock and roll band that does not exist yet.
Yep. Like,
oh, I can't be in this band. Look how good these guys are. And you're gesturing to an empty room.
A bunch of paper dolls that you've cut out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look how cool. What you call them all. Like, I'm trying to think of like, oh, look at Ricky. Ricky Rock. He's the obviously.
The oh Ricky Scuzz. Maybe I can be his friend.
Oh my gosh. When I would. This just reminded me of a thing when I was really young. My two friends were like three or four years older than me. We all lived in the same apartment building, and they wanted us to form a fake. We formed a band, like a girl rock band, and everybody in the band had different names. And I remember my one friend, her name was Roxy in the band.
Of course.
Don't remember who the other girl's name was, but then my name, I one got to wear pink, the other got to wear purple, and I had to wear yellow. Oh. Like I was like the young, like nobody wanted me in the band kind of thing. And I named my name was Coco, and on my stupid yellow shirt, it was a stupid picture of a cup of cocoa, which is
oh
so
no
stupid.
That is
and nobody, and I was just like, I was the little tag along, like 6 year old, maybe I was 6 or 7. This is my high heel birthday cake, I guess. Yeah. I was like 6 or 7, and we were trying to decide what to name the band. No one had any like thoughts that we were going to, you know, play music or anything, but we wanted to like walk around and sing. Mm-hmm. And I named the band Roxy and the Rockers, and they were like, "That's a great name." Mm-hmm. I knew we kept you around for.
How
some
did you
reason.
Do that thing where the same letter showed up twice?
And now my rock and roll logo, a drink babies use to go to sleep.
Oh my god! So at that age, Cullen, was that what kind of bands were you into?
Like anything that had a guitar.
All of them.
Yeah, yes. I mean, the radio play.
Is that your definition of rock and roll? Do you think that it has to have a guitar?
Yes. Yeah, I would say so. But yeah, I was like, yeah, like I thought, I remember Aeroplane, the Red Hot Chili Peppers song, really like broke through to my brain. I was like, oh, music can be like this?
Music can be about an aeroplane?
Pleasure and pain.
Music can have children singing yeah. it?
I'm a child. Wait a second. There's a whole career for me.
Oh, and Peaches. Remember the presence of the United
States? It is so funny that like a little kid would be like, wait a second, the Aeroplane and Peaches. I know these things. Rock and roll can be about...
Is there a song about choo-choo? I can guess.
What's funny is there are songs about choo-choos.
Well, also, yeah. Those are...
And there are songs about shapes.
Yeah. Well, the locomotion.
Right. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. But I've always enjoyed how that song was revived like every decade. And yeah. They always say it's a brand new dance. Anyway, sorry.
But it's interesting to me, too, that I feel like Peaches and Aeroplane, for example, both kind of ride the comedy song line. Like, they are kind of jokes.
Well, that's true, but
like,
well, also, Cullen remembers from being a baby, the diced peaches coming in on the aeroplane, on the spoon, coming to his mouth.
Yes, that's a specific memory to Cullen.
He had nostalgia for being a baby. He remembered the pureed
like,
peaches.
Yeah, then, I just feel
that,
like it's
that
not
song,
shocking.
Clean plate, yeah. Big growing boy. That song.
You don't need to use a high chair anymore.
I just feel like it's not shocking that like a comedy nerd would gravitate to those songs that kind of feel comedic in a way.
Yes,
Peaches
videos were kind of silly.
Yeah, and the videos were kind of silly. And like,
and those bands are guys like kind of just like jumping around.
Yeah.
Being goofballs.
Did you... were you into like Weird Al or any of the parody music, Dr. Demento, that whole vibe?
Loved Weird Al, as every little boy pretty much does.
Yeah, it's a requirement.
But yeah, it was I think everyone has their seminal Weird Al album. Mm-hmm. And it was
their
bad.
Weird album.
Weird Album.
Okay, thank you. Just don't leave that one
bad
on the floor.
Day.
And it was Bad Hair Day.
Yeah, I think people our age, it's Bad Hair Day because it was Amish Paradise. And that was like, that was kind of the breakthrough.
Yeah, I never was into Weird Al. I remember a guy that I was maybe, I think maybe we, maybe a guy that I was interested in, he told me about the Dr. Demento show, and I tried listening to it, and I was like, pass.
I gotta go.
I was like, you know what? I'll save this for when I get really into ska music. Like,
sounds a little demented for my taste.
But I've got to imagine one of those bands was Sublime.
Yes. Sublime was like the third album I bought. The first was What's the Story, Morning Glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like proud of having bought it.
Oasis was the first concert that I ever saw on my own. Was it Oasis and Bush? I think it was Bush opening for Oasis,
that would
maybe.
Make sense.
I was like 14 or 15. And it was like Liam did not show up. He decided he was house hunting with his girlfriend in London. And so Noel sang all the songs and I couldn't tell the difference.
Right. No.
No.
But that's a great album. What's the Story, Morning Glory? What else?
Let me think. Probably Red Hot Chili Peppers and Sublime. Those are the first. I got them all. Mm-hmm. I bought a CD player when I was in 1995.
Yeah.
And got those three albums.
You got the self-titled Sublime.
Yes.
One that has like pretty much all the songs on it.
Yeah. Which weirdly was not my favorite album. I got 40 Ounce of Freedom right after
freedom.
That and like
yeah,
went
yeah.
nuts for it. And it was like right as I was preteen, like hitting puberty. And I was like, this is my stuff.
That's the hot spot. Sublime is a great choice just because they're such a strange band. You know, because when I think about them, mostly I think of them as like a joke. Like, they're just the classic college dorm band.
Yes.
That's, I mean, literally the first time I ever heard Sublime was in my college dorm. It was like a movie scene. Like, I was moving into my college dorm in 2000, and I was like, what is playing down the hall? And it was
what
Sublime.
Is this new music?
And
smoking
I bought,
joints.
Yeah, and I bought 40 Ounce of Freedom and the other one, the self-titled one.
What's interesting is, you know, for me it was 2005, and it was still Sublime.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure kids in college are still listening to Sublime. It's like, dare I say, the new Bob Marley.
That's not a bad comparison.
I know.
Brad Noel is not turning over in his grave right now. He's thumbs upping in his grave.
You're giving him life. You're reviving
shock
him.
He just got an erection. It's very weird. Oh,
but it is a weird, oddly resonant for a band that is so widely mocked.
I have so many conflicting feelings about the band Sublime.
The Bland Sublime.
I will still listen to them and feel like an idiot, but also feel like, who cares? I'll be an idiot and listen to Sublime because it sounds good. I like it.
There's something going on. They tapped into some weird, I don't want to say like magic, but like something that just like has been able to stay around. And I think what is weird is that Sublime is played on easy listening radio stations. Like, it's played on Jack FM. It's played
But I don't think Jack FM is easy listening. They play what they want.
This is true. This is true. Jack will play anything.
You can't tie down Jack.
Yeah, but I guess, I'm just asking, could it be played in an office? What song of Sublime, Santeria?
You can play Santeria, you can play What
I
Got.
Yeah, that's playing at like the grocery store. Yeah.
What I Got, you could hear that in a
They do
else.
Use the F word in What I Got.
But that's always bleeped.
But they bleep it. They could bleep it.
It's just strange to me that how much they've been able
it's
to
It's like Sublime stuck around, but 311 did not.
No, but they have 311 has a very cult like following where people go on cruises and stuff.
Wait,
that's
really?
True.
There's a 311 cruise?
There is a 311 cruise.
My friends got married probably like 8 years ago, and they played string quartet versions of 311 songs as they're like while people were sitting down getting ready for the ceremony to
begin.
How do
you string quartet the rapping of 311? Is it just someone
somebody is just wiling out on a violin is how you do it.
Doing that. Watch me now, what am I gonna wild over to see if that sounds the opposite of beautiful.
I will tell you, we are not friends anymore.
Okay, so, well, it's because of that.
And that was a line in the sand.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does not publish any criteria for how they induct their members. It's a kind of infuriating because you can't really... If you had some sort of information to tell why people get inducted, then the institution would make a little bit more sense, but they don't. But I have put together some criteria of my own, kind of reverse engineering it based on who's already in. And so we're going to go through that list of criteria and see how Sublime...
No Mexicans. That's
holds
the
up. Oh, my God.
Seemingly.
Yeah, I mean, is of the Latino bands I can think of, it's like Santana is obviously and Jerry Garcia. And then beyond that, maybe... yeah, that's an interesting question. Los Lobos, as we've talked about, have been nominated.
Listen up. I'm going to stand one more time just for Kiko. It's a great album. Get out there and listen to it
and
again.
That song is good, Kiko.
That song rules, and that whole album is awesome. And I'll say it, and I've said it, and I'll say it again.
I mostly know Los Lobos from, I think it was a Critic cutaway gag of he weighed the same amount as the entire band Los Lobos, and it showed him on one side of a scale and the band on the other side.
Classic comedy.
Good joke.
It's a deep reference, but he's not afraid to do it.
All right, so the first category is critical acclaim. Now,
critically acclaimed.
Now, what do we count college newspapers in this? Or like,
we think always the kind of barometer for this is Rolling Stone and like, you know, Pitchfork, that kind of world, right? I feel like they're not like super beloved, but I also don't think they are dismissed critically.
So I will reference the Behind the Music about Sublime,
please.
Ooh,
which I watched.
Yeah, VH1 had.
And I remember this very important seeming lady talking about Sublime.
I mean, it's a woman with glasses. She surely must have been a critic.
She had a jacket on. And she said, people don't put Brad Newell up there with Kurt Cobain yet.
Ooh.
But they will.
Exquisite.
I never forgot that.
That's interesting because that is still hasn't happened. But I don't know when that's supposed to happen, but we might be in for a long haul.
Yeah.
I think especially because Brad Newell died.
Newell? Bradley Newell? That's how I always heard it.
Well, it's an O. It's N-O-W-E-L-L.
But I guess I always heard it. Noel?
It could either be Noel, maybe, is it?
Noel. I always said Noel, but... I'm a Christian.
Right, of course. So you're always thinking about Christ himself.
Yeah.
Noel is probably right. I think because he died, the critics were kinder to that band, especially because their seminal album was released posthumously. And that's like their best album. So I think it was in a position where it was given as much credit as it could have been. So I don't think they're like by any means a critical darling, but I also don't think it's, you know, they're not REO Speedwagon. You know, they're not a
band.
They're not a band that a lot of bands that Sublime influenced are trash critically.
Well, and there's all sorts of fucked up politics with Sublime. Like, first of all, there's just the fact that it's a bunch of white dudes singing reggae.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Co-opting as many cultures as they can.
And him, like, he will sing like patois, like he'll get into that, like,
yeah,
boop, boop, boop. And it is
he's not afraid.
Uncomfortable to listen to.
Yeah,
he is not afraid. There is a lot of shit going on. I would say you could, it's a problematic bingo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can,
with a, like, for sure.
There's a lot to be, I guess we'll probably move into the next category then, maybe?
Yeah, we'll go into classic albums.
Classic
albums. So I think that self-titled posthumous release, which is the one that has most of the songs you know, just called Sublime, is, I think, we might be ready as a nation to call it a classic album.
It's a classic album, man.
Wow.
So that album has... what does it have on it? It has What I Got.
Santeria.
It has Santeria. It has, let's see.
Wrong Way.
It has April 29th, 1992.
It's got Pawn Shop
no,
on
it, doesn't.
It, baby.
It does, yeah.
Really?
It has, wait, what? April? Oh, yeah.
I thought that was 40 Ounce.
No, I think.
I think there are some that are on both. Am I wrong about
that? I
think
you are
wrong. Two different versions, but the other one's on their like weird B-sides collection that I can't remember.
Robin the Hood.
No, that was the posthumous album.
No, that was one right before this one. So it goes 40 Ounces, Robin the Hood, and then
right.
Sublime. And
Robin the Hood is not good.
No, that was deemed to be a failure. And 40 Ounce, I think, has a of Sublime fans. I think they really like it, but I don't think I would not put that in,
wow,
like the classic.
40
album.
Ounce was released in 1992. That is wild.
Does that seem?
It just seems so early because I didn't come to Sublime till much.
I think a lot of people discover that album after, like, he died. So I think people kind of revisited. Yeah. This was like kind of an underground
thing.
After
What I Got became really popular, mm-hmm, and like Santeria started playing on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Date Rape started playing on the radio. Mm-hmm. I mean,
so
like,
Date Rape is from 40 Ounce.
Yeah.
And yes. So it's like Smoke Two Joints.
Yes. But they did not play that on the radio. I didn't know that.
No,
song
that
until.
Would be an entire bleep.
Yeah.
But oddly, yeah, Date Rape it was on the radio quite a bit.
Well, because there's a
so
moral
much.
To it.
There, yes. Weirdly, I hadn't listened to that song until last night, and I was.
You
pleasant.
Had never listened to that
I
song?
Hadn't in a while.
Okay.
So
was
what,
like,
excuse me.
It's very anti-rape. Except very pro-prison rape, which is
that
is weird.
True.
It's like a rape
well,
joke.
Well, no, but it's not weird, though, because that is like, I would
that
say up until recently, it has been really okay to make prison rape jokes in particular.
That's true.
Like, it was so okay to just hope that someone gets raped in prison.
Yes.
Like, and
don't drop the soap.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that joke on SpongeBob. They did a don't drop the soap joke.
Excuse me? Also, it would just float there underwater.
That's the real problem with that.
Yeah. Don't drop the soap because it'll float away and you won't be able to get it again.
Up. Don't drop the soap because actually it's currently disintegrating because you're in water, man.
But if we... Yeah, so I would say that 95 released The Self-Titled is a classic album. And then if we talk about like kind of iconic songs and also recognizable songs, I think there are two iconic songs, Santeria and What I Got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I would put up there. Those are songs that still get played and like people still know.
Yeah.
Against all odds.
Well, and also like living in California has changed my relationship to Sublime because they are still,
there's probably four radio stations that play Sublime a lot here, which is
it's
that
wild.
Sun is on the California flag now.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that weird looking sun logo.
Like a bug in it and an angel. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, they did replace, they replaced
the bear.
They should
make that the new Los Angeles flag. Our flag is whack.
It's just it looks communist.
It's our flag looks like a weird reggae. Have you ever seen the LA flag?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant
like
the California flag.
Oh, yeah. No, I love the California flag. The Los Angeles flag is like a weird cross-color shirt from the 90s.
Oh, that's very funny.
It's red, yellow, and green. And it
red, gold, and green.
And they are red, gold, and green. And it is like zigzagged.
Okay.
Like, and then in the middle is like a crest.
All right.
No flag should have zigzags.
Really, it is weird. It really does look like a cross color shirt from the 90s. It's time. It's time. And it was
time
made. It was made way before the 90s too. Like they had no idea that it was going to look so.
Los Angeles, your main problem, the flag.
Yeah, exactly.
Fix that flag
together.
And everything else will come into its place.
Okay, sorry. So
then after that, and we've already kind of name checked them, but like, so What I Got and Santeria, I would say, are iconic. And then like the recognizable songs, like Wrong Way.
Yeah.
Is...
Well, that had a really iconic video too.
Yes.
Wrong Way had a music video that was played all the time.
Okay.
In the early 2000s. Like, and it just is the story of the
bad men with
teenage
clown masks,
prostitute. If I remember. Oh my god.
That is
the subject material, the subject matter of their stuff is like, oh.
It's rough.
It's rough.
Also, that's a song where like when I think of it in my head, I think of the radio edit. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
There's so many. It's like, cigarette pressed between her lips, but I'm staring at her. It's the wrong way.
Or like horn honk sound effect.
Yeah,
or...
I'm staring at her. Whoop!
Oh, my gosh. The morning zoo version of it.
Right.
That song is it's like Date Rape, where I think it's trying to be good and then just can't. Do it because it's saying this is bad, but also hey,
it's like I still fuck this 13-year-old girl. Isn't she is she 13 or 14? I mean, it's horrifying.
It's I think she's 14, and he says I am only a man,
but I am
so
only a man.
Took her to the cannon. Also, the
bathroom.
Yeah,
to the bathroom.
Yeah, he had sex with a 14-year-old girl in the bathroom.
Christ.
Like this is like an upbeat ska rhythm,
and it's supposed to be okay because he's like, whoops, it's wrong.
Yes, I know it's bad.
Good.
It's time for me to start listening.
The thing is, I don't know. Just be it still exists, whether we make music about it or not, I guess, is the other thing, though. And I don't know what the answer is about that. I feel that way sometimes with hip-hop music. A lot of times I'm like, this still exists. The things that happen still happen, whether we make music about it or not. I'm not...
But it's almost by the nature of making it a song, even if it's supposed to be against it, it glorifies it. Yeah. Like, you just can't help idiots from thinking that it's cool.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
And also, you can't, also with songs, you can't expect everyone to hear every lyric and, like, truly...
to absorb.
Absorb it.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Speaking of, like, another sort of messed up politically song on that album is April 29th, 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like about the Rodney King riots.
Yeah,
but I don't remember. Can we play a little bit?
Yes, for sure.
That?
You would recognize the like bass line.
I recognize all of these songs. This is one that I didn't have to do any research on, right, or not do research on and get schooled on.
Like a lot of Sublime songs, this one starts with a lot of noise. Yeah. But I will.
It starts with like police sirens and stuff.
I think I've memorized the actual.
Ooh, tell us. Okay, wait.
In order. Oh wait.
Ed's Junior Market.
This is burned into my brain.
Because this also sounds like Pawn Shop to me.
Yeah, it's a very similar lick. Yeah. There's that DJ.
Oh my god, remember when rock bands had DJs? Remember Incubus?
Did they start it? Did Sublime?
They were very early to the DJ.
Because that to me feels like a very 2000s. Yeah. Move. Like late 90s, early 2000s.
So very influential. Deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. This is about looting. Yeah. I remember this.
And
song.
The riots, yeah.
Yes. I thought that was very cool that they would go get guitars. They went and got
you
guitars.
You were like, guitars, yes.
And then they burned down the store.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
That song has the line, it's not about the black man or something. It's like...
Oh, yeah. It's about rising up. Everyone's rising up.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, it's for white people, too.
Yeah.
It's another, like, white sort of matter. Swing at being, like, compassionate and then just getting it wrong. Their hearts were in the right place.
Well,
I think that
it's like... It's a class thing. You know, this is like they were poor white drug addicts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who lived in Long Beach and were just like doing drugs, surfing, and like committing crimes. Like,
yeah.
That's real. That existed. That's like who they were. And I think to them, they were like, this is my life and my experience. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
they're
it's like
getting beaten by the police.
But they're not getting beaten by the police. It's exactly. Well, that's what I mean.
Why choose this, like, kind of read the room situation?
I think this
room. Yeah, there was no room to read. They were they had to be the problem for us to know what was problematic. You know?
Yes. And like that's the pro argument. It's like they were a white band singing about the Rodney King riots when a lot of people weren't doing that.
Yeah. For sure.
It's weird.
That's the most diplomatic way to analyze this particular song.
But also it's a fucking banger, and I love it.
Yeah.
I learned to play bass by listening to that album. I learned to play every song on that album.
There is a lot of good bass on that album.
Bud Gah, bass player.
That's the guy. Yeah,
Bud Gah.
Oh, yeah. I know all their names. I know the dog's names.
Oh, because he talks about the dog. Is the dog Randy?
Lou Dog.
Oh, my God.
Lou Dog. They got kicked off the Warped Tour because Lou Dog wouldn't stop biting people.
There's some really funny stories about Lou Dog.
Which I think is very funny, where they were like, hey, man, as you get your dog in line, we're going to have to kick you off the Warped Tour.
Lou Dog.
I think they were also probably insane party animals.
Yes. I'm sure that he just would get, like, pass out. And then Lou Dog would run around biting people and shitting everywhere.
What kind of dog was Lou Dog?
Dalmatian.
Oh, they're dumb as hell.
Yeah, dumb, excited.
They are dumb and very excitable and mean. Yeah, because they got inbred so much. In the 80s when 101 Dalmatians came out, they got inbred so much that now Dalmatians are like very stupid. They're quite dumb.
Okay. the other kind of recognizable Sublime songs I can think of are Doin' Time, which is basically just Summertime.
Mm-hmm. That one.
Yeah. It's essentially a cover.
But he's just dissing. He's having a hard time with this girl.
Yeah.
Me and my girl, we got a
relationship.
Oh, yeah. And he nevels out at the end.
He's a little Aaron Neville in there.
He does. He nevels out.
Me and my girl, got a relationship.
Aaron Neville, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No. No.
No. Good.
I was gonna say I think the Neville brothers, they haven't been nominated, but I think they've come up in the nominating committee room, and also a band called The Meters, which has some of the,
I love The Meters.
Has
the
some Meters. Of the Nevilles in Tell that band.
Me. The Meters, you could argue, is like pretty sublime.
Wait,
like,
is
oh, I mean like definitely.
Very sublime music.
The Meters.
The Meters are like a funk New Orleans band.
Funk band.
And they've been nominated a few times.
Okay.
They were nominated last year.
They should be in the
Yeah, they should. And I, you know, they keep coming up enough that I think they probably will be. But anyway, what was So the other songs from Sublime that I think are recognizable, I would throw in Bad Fish.
Oh yeah, Bad Fish is a
well,
real.
Well, that's
like
what I was gonna say. The Monitors. That's who I was thinking of. There's a song called "Time Is Passing." Time Is Passing By. It's like a soul song from the '60s that is like a hidden gem. It rules. Look it up. Time is Passing By by the Monitors. That
ain't the Meters.
Ain't the Meters.
But yeah, Bad Fish.
That's
like which really is another one that starts with a party.
Yeah.
Just people talking.
That is a party. Like guy at the party with a guitar song. Like and Wonderwall.
Well, this honestly might be one I have to skip 40 seconds into.
Well, because I remember Bad Fish was like the thing that once I had already heard the other out like. That was the one
shut
that
up.
I got into.
I never forgot. It starts with someone saying, shut up. Shut up. My God.
Shut up. Yeah, this is a guy at a party with an acoustic guitar.
I did this a lot, like conversation over.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah.
In 40 on starts with someone, I think, saying like, you're not the only one who needs a fucking snowboard or something.
Yeah.
Oh no, God! I just can't believe that this guy is singing reggae music.
Yeah,
really?
And,
wow!
Yeah, and you know they're
step into.
It's a good song.
I mean, I know I remember this song so much.
They were contemporary. Wow. They're contemporaries. In like Southern California, no doubt.
They did. Oh, Saw Red. You ever heard
Saw
that song?
Red? Which
Saw Red
Gwen
is
Stefani
a great song. Yeah,
she kills
yeah.
it. On
She's
that
so
song.
Good on that song. That's
that
a great
was,
song.
That was before her kind of breakup.
Gosh.
Yeah.
No Doubt is not in the hall.
I don't know that they're eligible yet.
Okay.
But and it'll take soon. It'll take a few years for them to get in. They might be eligible because they had some like stuff before Tragic Kingdom, I think.
Yeah.
That was like not. But that was, you know, the okay. one that everybody knows.
I'm interested to see what happens with them. Someone should come on and talk about them. I'd be so happy if someone wanted to talk about No Doubt.
And she inducted the Police.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
Well, she's still out there in the mainstream media.
Yeah, she's I mean, if by that you mean The Voice.
Yeah.
She was on The Voice.
Oh, she's in The Voice.
Yeah.
I don't think anymore, but yeah. I mean, she's Mrs. Blake Shelton. Which is one of the least rock and roll moves you can do.
Oh, she's married to Blake Shelton now?
Yeah, she's just jumping from like mediocre-ass dude to mediocre-ass dude.
Yeah, right.
Man.
Gavin Rosdale.
Ooh. There should be a whole episode about No Doubt, because I would really love to talk about her and like kind of her relationship to men and also as it relates to her songwriting. I have a lot of thoughts
for sure for another episode though.
Also some weird politics in there of her being like, I'm a Japanese girl.
Yeah.
I'm black now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of appropriation,
but of like kind of, so there's clearly like a lot of songs that still are kind of around and being played for a band that, you know, was over in 1995.
You know? And I would say for that band too, they Sublime, as like laughable as a lot of their shit is, like they took some swings. Like they didn't just do reggae songs. Like they would mix it with a lot of different elements. Like DJs. Like there was that wasn't a thing.
For sure. I mean, they are definitely, pardon the term, a
they
fusion
are like
band.
To blame for Incubus existing. Like,
that's true. Incubus definitely listened to Sublime.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but they managed to fuse a lot of different genres together in a way that worked. That
like,
it was not that clumsy.
Without Sublime, there could not have been a Crazy Town.
That is so true. That like really, that line is straight.
Like,
that goes straight from them to yeah.
Well, that like, oh,
that
man.
Is an A to B.
What I got is a very catchy song that sucks. It is like the worst song.
Yeah, it's hard to like kind of reconcile some of this stuff.
It is no different than, remember that song, Who Got the Hooch? Remember that?
Yeah.
It's the exact same
song. That's Citizen Cope?
No, that's different. That's... You Got the Hooch is a band, I want to say they're called something like Everything.
They're called like the Hoochsters.
No, Everything, I think you're right. But what did Citizen, oh, Citizen Cope, and then the bottom drops out.
That's King.
Citizen King.
Citizen Cope Better is days. That weird, sad dude who...
Yeah, exactly. Citizen Cope was much later.
Like Everlast, but worse.
Oh, okay. So Citizen King was...
Better Days.
Better Days.
Everything was the name of the Hooch band, you weird weirdo.
That's such a hard one to remember because you're like, no way, the band is called Everything. It's not Everything But the Girl. It's like, nope, it's Everything.
It's Everything.
So let's go on to the next category, commercial success. Yeah, I mean, I think they sold 17 million albums and counting. And that self-titled album was so popular that retroactively their records before it went either gold or platinum. I think 40 Ounce went 2x platinum years after it had been released because of the strength of the sales of self-titled.
Do you think it's... I'm sorry. I'm just like... These white guys singing reggae music, making all this money. It's like...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's fucked up.
You know? I mean, mm-hmm. How many records has Taj Mahal sold?
Yeah, or like, or even like Toots and the Maytals. Yeah.
Like,
you know, it's so weird when we see how consistently, like, if a white person does a genre that they can make it break out. But
yeah.
Often in a less... reputable and in a worse way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost you could say the wrong way. Okay. next category is longevity. This is a category where they do not do well. Obviously, they were only around for like 3 years. So it's not like you can say they were consistently putting out great albums for
They are
you know,
still
decades.
Putting out merch.
Yep. Yeah, well, with Rome.
Rome.
Rome?
You not familiar with Sublime with Rome?
Oh, they're touring. Yeah,
that's what they.
No,
so Sublime.
I was like, that's a B-52s song.
So they were like, we're done after Brad died.
Yeah.
But later on, they were like, well, we still want to play music, and
did
we'll
they
bring
find
on...
someone from the Philippines who sounds exactly like him?
It's not far from that. I mean, like, it's straight up a dude who was a fan. A guy named
Rome.
So when they perform as Sublime with Rome, which makes it, it's like the presumption of like, oh, you know, we've got Rome now. Like anyone's going to understand what that means.
Wow.
But I think it is also out of respect. Like this is not Sublime. Yeah. This one, obviously without Brad Noel, it's just not going to be Sublime. So anyway, next up is, I mean, influence, innovation. Like we've talked about,
there's a straight line to a lot of terrible bands.
A lot of the worst bands you could ever think of. But you know, they also broke down the door for No Doubt to step out. You know,
hey, No Doubt.
I'm telling you, Dispatch would not exist without Sublime.
Guster,
OAR,
Jack Johnson.
I think that all of that. I don't know. You know, you might be right there. That is, I guess, a tributary.
Yes,
I think it is.
Those guys were all listening to Sublime.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Dispatch, OAR, what's the other band that, Widespread Panic, that's not them.
No,
that's
G-Love and the Special Sauce.
G-Love, there you go. Yeah. That's the one. Mm-hmm. G-Love and the Special Sauce.
Oh boy.
Definitely saw them in college.
G-Love got in the first year with Chuck Berry.
What about the Fun-Loving
well,
Criminals?
G-Love is in as, G-Love is in as a solo artist, but the Special Sauce did not get inducted.
Ooh, it's
fucked sorry,
up.
Special Sauce.
Yeah. Ooh, once again, snubbed the
Wait,
Special
who
Sauce.
Wait, who did you just talk about? What?
The Fun-Loving Criminals.
The Fun-Loving Criminals. Well,
the only band brave enough to put Reservoir Dogs quotes in their song.
What was their song?
Fun-Loving Criminals was the name of the song.
How did it go?
Listen up, punks, it's the Fun-Loving
This really sounds like you're...
Our name is Fun Loving Criminals, and
we're
here
to
say
we like crime
fun in
a fun
in a criminal way.
No, wait, really?
I can pull it up if you want.
Scooby Snacks.
Oh yeah, that's
Scooby
right.
Scooby Snacks. Okay. I was like, I know that their song was not Fun Loving Criminals. Okay. Wasn't their self-titled song.
So influence, I think, is there.
It is, and it's
bad.
You know,
it's actually a count against them that they influence so many people.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it really does. It counts against them.
They made music worse for having existed. And then the final category is, does my mom know them?
Does your mom know Sublime?
I think if I said, do you know Sublime, she would say, maybe. And then if I played her What I Got or Santa Rhea, she'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, for sure, I know who this band is.
10 out of 10, Jackie McFedries, my mother knows who Sublime is. Oh, wow. For sure. Because they get played on XRT. She listens to this adult contemporary alternative radio station that plays like, I'm sure they've been played on XRT. My mom totally knows. And also,
they get played on the radio a lot. Again, it's just like.
And they get played on the radio a lot.
Doesn't even have to be an alt station.
What I Got, yeah. And my mom listened to like Q101, which was the alternative, like K-Rock of Chicago when we were growing up.
And your mom famously loved punitive prison rape, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, he got what he deserved.
He'll get plenty of footlongs where he's going.
Yeah. She's like, I understand what the moral of the date rape story is.
It resonates with me as a satire on the... Colin, do you think your mom knows who Sublime is?
Yes, because of me.
Okay, right. Yeah, because of your obsession at a young age. All right, so let's go one by one and deliver our verdict. Do we think, should they get in? Will they get in? And if so, when? We'll start
with
Kristen.
Should they get in? No. Will they get in? No. If they ever got in, they will not get in. But if they just won't. I don't think that they will. If they did... I don't know. Maybe if they made a documentary about them and something happened, or like if, I don't know.
They unearthed new songs that were very woke.
Like, I don't know. If Kid Cudi did a remix of Bad Fish or something, like, I don't know in what world they would get in. So I don't think so.
Okay. Colin?
Look. They are extremely... fucked up. There's a lot of like cultural appropriation shit, but you can put together a playlist that's really good. Like I think they were
very listenable.
Very listenable. There was a guy.
Yeah.
I can't remember
the
his
Hall
name.
Of Fame, notoriously listenable. you're just looking for the most listenable bands to get into the Hall of Fame.
Look, they're not gonna get into the Hall of Fame.
There we
I'm
go.
Here to
that's
argue
what
that
I was
they
looking
should
for.
Be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Very good. All
right. They brought some it's like fucking bangers, man. Like, also just there weren't people writing songs. It was like the Beach Boys. This is like a real life version of the Beach Boys. And if the Beach Boys can be in the fucking Hall of Fame, why can't someone who's good at their instruments be in the Hall of Fame?
Whoa! Wow. Shots fired at the Beach Boys. Yeah, all of our fans.
Yeah, we've got many.
The Beach Boys, like Pet Sounds, is fine. But it's like, oh, let's all go hang at the beach and look at my cars. Like,
yeah, it's
worthless
like
music.
Yeah, like, let's all go save a 14-year-old girl from being raped by other people by having
other
sex
songs.
With her.
Well, there is some lyrical complexity where they're like, we hang out and party and do drugs, but also I'm sad a lot. And there's I don't know. Anyway, I like them. They should not be in the Hall of Fame. They will not be in the Hall of Fame, but. Okay. They deserve to be around.
Like, all right.
Yeah, they
you don't have to erase them from history.
I don't think they should be erased.
A ringing endorsement. I don't know that they should be. I don't think that they should be. Although I get the case because when you have a lot of hits, like, and hits that stick around.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I think about the fact that, like, who would have thought that Sublime would have withstood the test of time better than the Dave Matthews Band?
Yes.
That is a real wow.
Because, like, do you really hear Dave Matthews Band songs the way you hear Sublime songs?
No, but no. What would you rather hear? Ants Marching or What I Got?
What I Got.
Ants Marching is an infuriating song. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't Ants Marching also about, like, look at all these people going to their jobs?
Look at these
I'm Dave Matthews
who don't
and I'm cool.
have a job playing guitar next to a muscular fiddle man.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, I think about that, and I think there is merit to the fact that their songs have withstood the test of time. I don't know if I think they should be in the Hall. I think probably not. I don't think they would get in, but I could. If it happened, it would have to be like they just became eligible last year, so they could have been on the ballot for the 2018 ceremony.
Wow. What
a thing
happened?
You said last night that really stuck with me is that You think Jimmy
Buffett? I love
Buffett,
you, Cullen.
Yes. I love you. Run away from your wife. You think Jimmy Buffett could get in the Hall one
I
day.
Could see it happening.
Just... And if that happens, Sublime definitely deserves
that
to be in the
Rock and Roll Hall. That opens the tributary for Sublime and for a lot of bad shit. Yes.
Jimmy Buffett is like... Jimmy Buffett being on the ballot is my nightmare scenario.
Yes.
Because I think he would get in.
Is yes. the dam holding mm-hmm. back a lot of terrible shit right now.
Because he's like weirdly respected by some of those boomer generation musicians and people. I almost don't want to get into it because I will
no,
like...
No, I know. And I've told the story about the guy who played Jimmy Buffett on the cruise ship. The,
yes.
Yes. So...
Oh boy!
Oh yeah.
But yeah, they're the canary, or he's the canary in the coal mine of Joe hating the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, like it would be there's some, and we're gonna get into this as we.
This next, is part of our new streamlined podcast. Is Joe plans things
kind of
that
planning
he,
segments
to rant
stuff.
About
as we get closer to the nominees for next year being announced, which is going to be in a little over a month. We're gonna start to get into some. Some things that have to do with that, like my nightmare ballot scenarios and that, yeah. and that kind of thing.
Also, I do want you, maybe after the break, tell the fans about your dream.
Oh, yes, for sure. That's a good thing. We'll put a pin in that. I think if they got in, it wouldn't be for another, like, 25 years. I think it would take, like, a long time. Yeah. And it would have to be, like, our generation are, like, in their... Yeah, or much older.
Like when we're a bunch of daddies.
Yeah, when Dad Rock is Sublime. That's the only way I could see it happen. No, say they do get inducted, though. Let's say, for like, out of nowhere, they get inducted next year. who inducts them? Who gives the speech before they come out that's saying, like, Sublime is great?
Rome.
Could it be Rome? I think Stefani is, like, a great...
Yeah, Stefani is a slam dunk, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's, like, the most famous... Like a person who worked with them, a person who was their contemporary, and a person who became very famous.
Or like Lou Dog's son.
The litter.
Puppy dog.
Someone who came from Lou Dog's litter.
Lou Puppy comes out.
And then like some of the people were saying before, like, I mean, it's not exciting, but like Jack Johnson and like...
People
Who...
This is why they can't get in.
Right.
This is
they
what
really
I'm saying.
Did ruin.
This is... Oh,
you know what? I think I hate Sublime.
Wow.
All right. We did it.
But there's not a ton of choices that stick out. Stefani seems like a good one. Any other thoughts for who could induct them?
No, Elton I'd really John. Rather not keep thinking about it, if I'm being honest.
There are basically only three members of the band for their entire run. So those are the dudes who get...
Oh, and inducted. There's one guy who secretly recorded all the guitar solos, which is very funny to me.
Yeah.
Would he get in too?
No. It would basically be like the three official members of the band, I think, are the ones who get in, which is Brad, Bud, and...
Eric Wilson?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's it. And then maybe the dog.
Yeah.
Lou Dog is... He's like the guy
he's
in
their
Mighty
boss
Mighty Boss Tone.
Yeah, he's their boss tone.
He's
that's
in that
who
band.
He is.
All right, and so they're getting inducted, and usually the inductees play three songs at the induction ceremony. What songs do they play?
Oh, God.
I think it's pretty clear they play What I Got. I mean, like, it's a tribute performance, obviously. Yeah. It's with Rome, probably. Maybe Gwen Stefani is playing with them.
Or a hologram.
Yes, or you throw down a disc, press a button.
They're already into holograms. The Santeria video had like the Yoda end of Star Wars ghost of Brad Noel playing in the sky.
What? Yeah. I don't know about this, we'll link to that on our Twitter. I think obviously What I Got in Santeria are like slam dunks.
There's the third one is maybe Bad Fish.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's
but Bad Fish and What I Got are they've got that same
true.
Vibe. Right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think the third most popular one is probably Wrong Way, but...
Yeah,
can you play that one now?
I don't know. Maybe if you get a woman to sing it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you get like, Gwen to sing it?
There's really... That's,
she reverses
that's
the,
it.
Like,
yeah.
He's staring at my tits, it's the
yeah,
wrong way.
I'm
exactly.
staring at his dick. It's the wrong way.
That's funny that Rome has to sing all this fucked up shit that someone else wrote.
Yeah.
His arms are tied. I think that would... Yeah, if you can gender reverse it, that's a pretty good set. But you know, Bad Fish would also be
Bad
good.
Bad Fish is a
Doing Time would be good, especially because it's like it kind of it's tipping a cap to older music, and that's sometimes what they do when they perform.
Yeah,
those songs. So that's not a bad set list that we will never see or hear at the induction ceremony. We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. I hope you had a nice break. as was teased, I feel like the first thing we got to do is listen to Scooby Snacks. Do we tease that? I forget
this
if we
was teased.
That.
No.
No, we teased. What do we? We teased
your
my
dream.
Dream. I'll talk about my dream very.
Don't be a dream tease.
Very briefly. I hate to dream tease. I wish I could say it's my first dream about the hall, but it's not.
I will tell you that I woke up and Joe had texted me saying, "It's that time of year. I've had a dream about the hall."
Specifically about the nominees.
Induction.
The nominee announcement. Because the nominee announcement is, if you follow the hall, like the most suspenseful thing, because you don't know what they're gonna release 19 or 20 artists, and you don't know, you have no fucking clue who it's going to be. And sometimes they really fuck it up.
Before you get into this, is it a dream or a nightmare?
It was a little bit of both.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I was in some scenario where I was announcing the nominees to a lot of people, including Kristen.
I was there.
And it
was bated breath.
There were a lot
nominated.
Of names of like super old, like rock groups like from like the 50s that I had never heard of, where
the
I was like
Commodores.
Where I was like,
oh, the Commodores are from
I would
the
love
70s.
It if the Commodores were on the ballot, but it was like, you know, Jimmy Lewis and his Special Boys and like a bunch of groups that, you know, they I had made them up in my head.
Yeah.
Weirdly, Bauhaus was on was on the list. I thought that was weird
ballot.
Also, Bad Company and Foreigner were on, and I was, and everybody was like really bummed when I was reading off those names, because those are if those appear on the ballot, you know they're gonna get inducted, and it's kind of boring.
Bad Company.
But also, I was like, ladies and gentlemen, I have an exciting one to announce: Liz Phair.
You said it like that,
and everyone went nuts, and everyone was really happy, and that was the extent of my dream.
What
I was reading
nice
the nominees.
World that dream is.
I also can cop to the fact that I have now had a hall related dream that I texted Joe about, where I had a dream that John Bon Jovi's kids were making fun of him. I don't know. I was sitting in an audience with John Bon Jovi. His kids were making fun of him, and he turned around, and Tom Petty was in the row behind him. And he turned to Tom Petty, and Tom Petty said hi to him. And then John Bon Jovi's kids were like, "Oh, I guess you're cool now if Tom Petty likes you."
Weird.
And then he was like, "My kids are real bad. They deserve to go to John Bon Jovi."
Yeah.
All right.
Get it.
Let's hear that Scooby Snacks
song.
Scooby
Snacks by Fun Loving
Criminals.
All right.
What is? Oh, are they on the run though? They're on the run with the Scooby Snacks, I think is what it is.
They're running around.
Oh, wait, really?
Yes.
Yes.
This is a Pulp Fiction.
It's a Pulp Fiction. Oh, yeah.
Oh my god.
This is like if Napster was a band.
I mean,
all right.
What's the chorus of this?
Should I try to jump?
Yeah. We should get to the chorus. This music sounds like Vince Vaughn's name is in the credits of a movie. Like.
Oh, yeah. Running around, robbing banks, all whacked on the Scooby Snacks.
That's
it's about being high and robbing banks. This is an A to B for fucking...
It's about having fun.
We're done listening to this.
Thank you for that. God, I just didn't remember what it was. That was on the radio.
Yes.
Ugh.
Directly influenced by Sublime.
Why?
So another thing I would like to do is... our podcast is now in the position where we have a...
Shadowy informant.
So we have someone from the inside.
Is this real?
A rock and roll Hall of Fame insider.
Oh my god!
Who kind of knows some things about the process and wanted to dispel some rumors. So I'm going to read a statement from our shadowy informant.
This is QAnon.
We got to come up with a name for the shadowy informant.
Our version of Deep Throat.
Yeah, I'll put it Deep Purple Throat. Gross.
Well, there it is.
Deep Purple Throat.
Here's our Deep Purple Throat.
What a nightmare name. Why did I say it?
Well, you had to. Yep. You know, we didn't have a lot of time to really think about it. We should have done it over the break, and we didn't.
We didn't.
All right,
I
here we go.
I didn't know this was coming. I'm excited.
Most conspiracy theories are not true. Jan Wenner.
You're quoting from
Deep Purple Throat. Yes, I'm quoting directly from Deep Purple Throat. Most conspiracy theories aren't true. Jan Wenner, or no single person, decides who gets in. Who gets in really is just based on people voting, as opposed to shadowy behind-the-scenes stuff. The Hall of Fame actively tries to recruit more diverse voters, and it is actually a pretty democratic process.
Hmm.
So the idea of like Radiohead getting votes and there being some sort of deal to defer their induction is not true.
Really? It's, you're positive this person knows?
From what I understand, this is a well-informed. I mean, they're called an informant, so they're well-informed. And yeah, it's the nobody can, you know, people can push for an artist, but it's a process.
But do we know who the voters are?
We have an idea. Like, anyone who's been inducted is a voter. So what? There's two stages of voting. There's like the nominating committee, which is like about 30 or 40 industry experts.
Yes.
We know who they are. We know who they are, and they vote for the nominees, and then the nominee list goes to like about 1,000 voters, which we obviously don't know every single voter in that voting body, and then they vote for who's inducted. So there you go. Dispelling rumors, perhaps, or perhaps it's boring. The next thing I would like to talk about is something.
This is a false flag, I think.
Something that we had talked about previously, which is one of the more high profile articles about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recently was on Vulture. A writer named Bill Wyman, not to be confused with the bass player from the Rolling Stones, which I know both of you guys were like,
yeah,
you mean,
like, oh, yeah.
You mean Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones? Yeah. There's a music writer named Bill Wyman. He ranked all the everyone who's ever been inducted.
Yeah.
215 artists.
He put Queen in the bottom 20.
He put, yeah, because of
I don't even remember why, for some nonsense reason, and it had nothing to do with the fact that they're leaving AIDS out of the Freddie Mercury movie.
It was the fact that they, when they did the tribute performance to Freddie Mercury, where they had a bunch of people like George Michael and Elton John singing.
That no one like was no wearing mentioned a pride
AIDS.
Flag?
No one mentioned AIDS.
So wait, this is based on the nominees, or is it based on?
So this is these are artists who are inducted. And he ranked all of them, and he had some weird
ranking the artists, not the inductions, because that seems fucked up to be like,
yeah,
no.
So this wasn't the induction,
though. This was like right after Freddie Mercury had passed. Mm-hmm. There was like a huge event in his honor.
But like, you cannot give Queen, you can't put that on Queen.
Exactly. It's like saying like this guy sucks. Someone farted at his funeral, so he's off the list.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the idea was that Queen, the band, could have said something, but. I mean, while that may be true, Chuck Berry had cameras in the women's bathrooms at his restaurants. You know what I mean? And, like, that didn't seem to dock him any points. Jimmy Page had, like, a 14-year-old sex slave. Like, there are so many fucked up stories that if you take into account, then you can't listen to rock and roll anymore.
Well, I mean, it's not Jimmy Page's fault. He is only a man.
Yeah, and he's,
he does what he can. It's the wrong way.
It's the wrong way, but he knows it's the wrong way.
Oh, my God, that song was about Jimmy Page.
That song's about Jimmy Page. I think we just uncovered the truth.
All right. Put him in the hall.
Wait, but, and again, can I just say, too, that I think that that is particularly insidious because this is a marginalized culture that you're, like, making this fucking blanket statement about as an excuse to put them in the bottom 20, and I think that's bullshit, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's weird.
You can find any reason to dock an artist's points, but yeah. I'm going to go ahead and start from the bottom and just kind of read them up. I guess if at a certain point you want to stop, but I'm going to kind of just like blaze through them. So at the very bottom,
not going to get to one. Are we going to go to 15 down?
Okay. I mean, we'll see. So at the very bottom, Bon Jovi, Queen, Journey.
Wait, Queen was second to last?
Putting Journey above Queen hurts my brain.
It's like a statement, and it's...
I hate
it's,
it. It's enraging.
You know what?
And
it's to get people to click on the article.
Yeah, of course. It's, yeah.
It's like, here's the bands ranked. You won't believe where Queen falls. God.
Bon Jovi, Queen, Journey, Chicago, Rush, Kiss, The Moody Blues, NWA, Joan Jett, The Red Hot Chili Peppers, ABBA, George Harrison, Deep Purple, the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, Jeff Beck, Hall & Oates, Percy Sledge, Dr. John, Little Anthony and the Imperials, Gene Pitney, Bill Withers, Green Day, Cat Stevens, Buddy Guy, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Bobby Darin, The Lovin' Spoonful, Donovan, John Mellencamp, Billy Joel, Ricky Nelson, The Dells, Bonnie Raitt, Dave Clark Five, Solomon Burke, The Moon Glows.
What number? He put The Moon Glows at what number?
At 179. Above.
Are you reading this whole list?
Yeah, I mean, wait, I might.
No, crazy. Don't do that. You don't need to do that to
little
us.
Little Vinny and the Poparinos. What was that one
wait,
band?
Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Little Vinny and the Poparinos.
We talked about The Moon Glows on the last one because they were on. They got inducted in 2000 then, right?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, God, now I
and
know
they were like
that.
A doo-wop band.
Yeah, what was their song?
Ten Commandments of Love and a song called Desire. I believe.
What?
Yeah.
Because that I remember when James and I were trying to figure out, I was like, there's no way the Moon Glows are on there. I don't even know what
most,
that is.
Most of all, Sincerely, not Desire. It's called Sincerely, Ten Commandments of Love, and Most of All.
Man, you know up in heaven right now, little Anthony is jamming with...
the Poparinos.
John McCain.
John McCain.
And the Poparinos.
Poparinos, Jimi Hendrix, Mozart.
And hey. I'm going to see what he has to say about the Moon Glows.
Yeah, and... just like all of this relative to Queen is what makes me mad.
Very
like,
cool R&B doo-wop ensemble led by Harvey Fuqua, a definite presence, Ten Commandments of Love, still a minor outfit.
What?
Yeah. Any other names of the ones that I've read that you'd that are curious in their placement? Do you want to know who Little Anthony and the Imperials are?
Not really.
Okay, that's
wait,
fine.
What did they sing?
Little Anthony and the Imperials.
I've heard of
I
them.
I think
that's
like, help, I'm stuck in this bowl of Cheerios. This is a very little man. Right?
I'm very tiny. Get me out of this pocket. I didn't think
a
it would be this
deep. A bird
just
picked me up.
Their song, Tears on My Pillow, is there.
Oh, that's worse. Tears on my pillow, pain in my heart caused by you. That's
because I'm tiny and I want to be big.
I live in a pillow.
Pain in my heart caused by you, big person.
Like, yep.
You, my parents.
So those, all those artists I named are, there's 178 artists above them. So like they're at the bottom.
That is wild. I mean, I take it as a personal affront that John Mellencamp is so close to the bottom. Mm-hmm. He is the Bruce Springsteen of the Midwest. I've said that before and I continue to believe it.
Yeah.
And I don't think he sucks. I think he's pretty doesn't suck. I don't think he's like top 50 material, but put him in the middle.
Yeah, well, Wyman had a lot to say about Mellencamp.
Oh, I'm sure he hates him because he's well-meaning, jealous of his beautiful hair.
Likeable, in his own way, humble artist is a perfect example of the double standard of the hall. You could just about hear the pompous pronouncements from someone in the nominating room. John Mellencamp certainly deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and why not? He's earnest, writes some decent songs, and is properly respectful of his elders.
Earnest.
But still, how rock and roll is that? And again, I like him, but boy, you can see the point of those who think he's a chowderhead.
Yeah.
Which
Bill
I half
Wyman.
Agree with, and those who know that virtually everything in his Working Man's Playbook is Springsteen Light, which I wholly agree with. And in any case, is decent the standard. This is a weird line in the sand to draw. Bob Seger has literally written a dozen songs better than anything Mellencamp has come up with.
Agreed.
And rock would not be different if Mellencamp had never been born.
Also Whoa, agreed. Except that no one would be sucking on chili dogs. If
yeah, outside
sucking
of Tasty
on chili
Freeze.
Dogs. No, I don't know. I just have like a soft spot in, a spot
soft
in
spart.
My heart. I got a soft spot in my heart. List. In my heart for Mellencamp. I think just because of growing up in the Midwest. And also mm-hmm. because I lived in Tennessee when... that song about nostalgia, his glory days, if you will.
Small Town?
No. That's when a smoke was smoke and groove.
Oh,
was
yeah.
Dancing
Cherry Bomb?
Everything. Yeah, Cherry Bomb. When that song came out,
it's
it
so
featured...
funny the idea that there would be one song about Small Town nostalgia by John Mellencamp when that's what they all are.
Yeah, but that song, that video came out. I lived in Tennessee and it was a really big deal because it was an interracial couple slow dancing. In the music video, and it was like a mm-hmm. really big deal in the town in Tennessee where I lived in.
But what was weird is they kept cutting to shots of John Mellencamp with his arms folded, shaking his head. Isn't that weird?
He's
that
the villain of his music video. And I assume all these bands talked about AIDS at their induction ceremony. And that's why they're in front of
fucking
Queen.
And that's why they're in front of Queen.
Yeah, right. Because they all prominently talked about AIDS a lot.
And how dare you put the Moody Blues above Queen? Ugh. I'm angry.
How are they even in there?
Yeah, right. This is an oft-discussed topic.
Knights in White Satin.
All right.
They just got in this last year.
Wait, is Knights in White Satin about the Ku Klux Klan?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No.
No.
It sounds like it would be.
It's Knights
no,
with an N.
No, it's Knights with an N.
Not a KN.
It's okay. About it's about like getting high and having
fucking
sex
in,
for a long
and with nice
like,
nice
it's
sheets.
Like, it's like, yeah, having sex on Quaaludes, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do my alt-right parody.
Yeah, could you please?
Oh, my God.
All right, we ready for the next chunk?
Sure.
Why not? I feel like this is riveting. So we left off of the Moon Glows. Alice Cooper, Buffalo Springfield, Metallica, Steve Miller Band, Del Shannon, Genesis, The Doors, The Ventures.
Steve Miller Band? What does he say about Steve Miller Band?
Okay. So with old Stevie Miller. And I guess Steve Miller was not inducted with his band, but Miller was a formidable guitarist in the early days of the San Francisco scene. By the mid-70s, had established a rep with some groovy songs and one classic slice-o-sonic pop psychedelia, Fly Like an Eagle, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he became a consistent pop hit maker with some silly songs.
Man, that's another, that's a band. A lot of songs about robbing places. Take the money and run. That's
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
A lot of,
yeah.
A lot of Bonnie and Clyde type stuff in the rock and roll.
It's rock and roll.
Oover. It's attitude, baby.
Yeah, I get it. All right. I get it.
So The Ventures, Guns N' Roses, Clyde McFadder, Van Halen.
Who the hell is Clyde McFadder and why is he better than Queen?
Clyde McFadder is like early, early soul. He got inducted the second year. Because he's just like one of those foundational guys from like the 50s. He was also in the Drifters. He was the first guy to get inducted twice.
What is a song by Clyde McFadder?
Want to hear some Clyde?
Way, Joe's not reading this. He's just saying this.
Yeah, I'm holding my fingers to my temples.
No, he was. It. He did say all that stuff about Clyde McFadder, yes. Though, off the dome.
Clyde, his songs, we have a Lover's Question or Treasure of Love. Which one do you want to hear?
A Lover's Question.
Okay, great. Let's throw that on.
Oh, this got a great bass line. You should learn how to play this.
Yeah. I think Sublime was influenced by Clyde McFadder.
Vodka? Right.
This
in.
Is great. I actually like this.
This is
a
really
lot.
Nice.
I
yeah.
love this.
It's hard not to laugh at bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, right. Because it's such an antiquated thing, but like.
No, this is
yeah,
great.
This is
yeah,
cute.
And
I like it.
It was.
I don't hate
he was
this
doing
at all.
This stuff like early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's a foundational guy.
All right. Maybe. Good job. All right, Clyde.
But he's ranked pretty low. Yeah. Like we're still like in the second half.
It's just,
you know?
When you say that all of these bands are above Queen, it's just really hard to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you almost have to like forget that because that was like clearly a statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he was making, and like maybe something the editor pushed so that people would like want to be it. Upset about it.
Well, it's working.
It worked. The OJs, the Righteous Brothers, Darlene Love, Bobby Blue Bland. Brenda Lee.
Bobby Blue Bland.
He's come
that
up
was
before.
Who yeah, who was
Bob
what
loves,
friend of ours? Bob Merlis.
Loves Blue Bland.
He
and has like written the liner notes.
He's the one
like,
who pushed for that. So see, that's why I wonder about Deep Purple. I'm like, you know,
Deep Purple Throat?
Yeah. Like that's why I wonder about I'm just gonna call them Deep Purple from now on. That's why yeah. I wonder, because like, you know, we also have on record, on the air, Bob Merlis saying he personally pushed and he's the reason that Bobby Blue Bland is in the
Did he
HOF.
Say that?
He said that.
Well, I think what he said was he made a good case for them.
Yeah.
But I think the point is that you can make a good case, but if they don't get the votes, they don't get it. You know what I mean?
They got to get the votes.
I think there's kind of theories that like, well,
this is a time for all the Hamilton heads out there to really get excited.
I don't know what that means.
There's a whole song in Hamilton about how you don't have the votes. It's basically.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole song in Hamilton. Mm. It's a big one. And you know what? And most other people would know what I'm talking about. I want you to know that.
Can I go back to reading my list?
Anyway, Tiny Walter.
Yeah, exactly. The
Brenda Lee, Isaac Hayes, The Faces, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, The Mamas. And I knew that one would make you laugh.
Always.
That's one you definitely know because
yeah,
Why Do Fools Fall in Love?
Yeah. I still can't believe that's a boy.
Yeah, he's the original Little Anthony.
And the Little Teenagers.
And of course, if you have Little Anthony, you have to have the Mamas and the Papas to look after him. Mamas and the Papas, Electric Light Orchestra, Richie Valens, the Flamingos.
They must be recent.
They are. Yeah, I was like when ELO. When I saw you in New York last
year.
Yeah,
that's right. I almost
went
to that.
They were being inducted.
You yeah. almost went to the.
Yes, I can't remember why I didn't.
If the tickets had been easier yes. to get, maybe. But it was
you
like we were
struggling.
You weren't
interested in standing around the Barclays Center just trying
to
tweet at random Pearl Jam fans.
So I was like, well, I'm going to go at 2 p.m. and, you know, a wheel and deal for 5 hours.
And you were, like, not into it?
No,
you weren't
you.
Up for that?
It was in the middle of winter also.
It wasn't warm. But it was April. So, you know, it was comfortable.
Okay.
The Flamingos, Aerosmith, Four Seasons, Earth, Wind & Fire, John Lee Hooker, Jimmy Cliff, Dion, Gene Vincent, Nina Simone, Isley Brothers, Martha and the Vandellas, Linda Ronstadt, Black Sabbath, Lloyd Price, Joan Baez.
Hey, can we go to Linda Ronstadt for a second, though?
Yes, for sure.
I had mentioned on the last episode with James that I embarrassingly know so little mm-hmm. about Linda Ronstadt other than her name.
Yes. Would you like to hear some Linda Ronstadt?
Yeah. What's like her jam?
She is...
Do you like know anything about Linda Ronstadt?
I know she's important.
Could you name a song? Yeah, there you go.
I think of her as like Rhinestone Country. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I think of her as well.
So she's one of the great singers of all time. And she did not write her own songs, but she's the type of person who could make a hit out of a song.
Mm. Yeah.
Like she sang Desperado and made it a hit for the Eagles. So then that their version was able to become like classic. She and we were talking about Warren Zevon last week, and she did that kind of with Warren Zevon.
Is Patsy Cline in the hall?
Patsy Cline is not in the hall.
But Linda Ronstadt
is. You could make a case for Patsy, okay, especially because of Linda. But I think partially...
Dolly is not.
Now that's fucked up.
I think Linda's in because she was a little bit country, but she was a lot rock and roll, especially because of the people she worked with. Like, she worked with Zevon and the Eagles and Randy Newman. And do you want to hear... you probably have heard You're No Good, is my guess.
Yeah. Yes. I do know that song.
That's Linda Ronstadt.
You're no good.
She also had her version of Blue Bayou is definitive. Would you like to hear that?
Sure.
I'm so lonesome all the time.
Did she play any instruments?
No. Some would say her main instrument was the human voice.
Say that.
I would never say that. It's disrespectful to people who play real instruments. I'll go a little bit.
Oh yes, I've definitely heard this.
Not gonna argue with this one.
No, I love it. This is nice.
She has a good version of Heatwave, which is like a Motown song.
Hit me with the heat. I know Heatwave.
Right.
Oh, this is her version?
Yeah.
I do know this one as well. All right.
She's a good version of When Will I Be Loved? Which maybe is the definitive version.
This, yes.
This song's really good.
This song rules. Wow. You know what, Linda? I'm here for you, girl. I don't think you're better than Queen, but I do like you. Yeah, this song rocks.
It's really good.
But it also countries as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then different drum, you might know.
Yes.
Yeah, I know this song.
This song is so fantastic.
This was written by a monkey. This was written by Mike Nesmith.
It sounds like it was.
And they wouldn't let you thought you knew
this. Yes, I was picturing a song written
by a chimp. A chimp just... They did that thing with the typewriters, yeah. And then this happened. Yeah, so, but because the people who, represented the monkeys, did not respect them, in the sense of, they're like, you're actors, you're not a real group, and Mike Nesmith was like, I wrote this song, and they were like, no, you didn't, you stupid-ass monkey, dance for us. And then, so he gave the Linda Ronstadt, and she made it a hit.
What number is she in the...
Linda is 145.
What does he have to say about her?
Old. He constantly gets mad at people for not writing their own songs, which we know is does not really matter.
Elvis.
He seems to conveniently forget when it's Elvis's turn.
This list.
Leaving
is
aside
bunk.
The undeniable voice, I don't know how well the beloved Ronstadt's work has aged. Weird.
Except that I just heard four of her songs in a row and went, yes. Yeah, and then I went, yas.
You sure did. You threw your hands up in the air.
Yes.
After an organic beginning, she hooked up with producer Peter Asher, whose highly effective pop sheen sold a lot of records. Excuse me. And along with the similarly antiseptic work of producers on the Eagles, the Doobies, Supertramp, and others, helped to systematically denature a good chunk of the music and pop radio during this time.
Man,
she was an able song interpreter on some obvious covers and once in a while did something unexpected.
Whoa,
what a piece of shit. I hate saying that because this guy has been personally very nice to me. And he listened to our podcast as he was writing this.
Oh.
But I'm happy to rib his ass. And I'm going to let him know.
Let him know. Got to get out there and tell him what's what. Well, I think that's a good Where did we get to?
We got to 145.
Out of how many?
215.
So pretty good chunk that we just listened. We
plowed through pretty.
Who's 144?
Black Sabbath.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, which I maybe had said.
I love Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath is awesome. I mean, Black Sabbath should be in the top 100.
Yes.
I think easily. He's,
like we were talking, they don't like metal, really.
I'm interested to, when we get to the top 100, be like, who would we swap out at some point? You know, I'm intrigued.
Well, it's going to change. We're going to be like, why are they so low? And it's going to be like, why are they so high?
Yeah.
You know. All right. Well, we'll put a pin in it at that point. And then we will get through this. If you're listening and you're like, please stop doing this, let us know at rockhallpod@gmail.com. We also have a Twitter account now at rockhallpod. So
good content on the tweets. I don't.
Thank you, Kristen.
I don't do much on Twitter, as if you follow me, you can tell that. But whenever I log into Twitter, it's always in the top of my, in case you missed it.
If you want them to stop reading the list, just tweet the YouTube link to Fun Loving Criminals
Scooby Snacks
as a way of showing your disapproval.
Vote with your tweets, guys.
Cullen, where can we find you on Twitter?
I am at Hello Cullen.
A great follow.
No
lots
one
of good
follow
jokes.
Me ever.
Lots of great
Hello
jokes.
Cullen. That's that's my website is Hello Kristen. We'll talk about it in a second, but that's fun.
I'm suing you.
is there anything you want to plug, Cullen?
No.
Okay, great. Yeah, so just follow Cullen.
Me as a person.
Cullen's got a truly great Twitter.
You know what I'd like to plug? These deep emotional holes.
I want to say guitars, everyone.
Buy them, play them.
Great to have, great to look at.
Listen and love. Kristen, where can we find you online? And do you have anything to plug?
I am at KStud across all platforms. My website is hellokristen.com. I still don't mention our podcast on it, but maybe one day I will update it to do that. I also want to give a shout out to Lindsay Whiting. A big thank you for our first merchandise, our first hall related merch. She, for my birthday, sent me temporary tattoos that say "Induct the Divas" on them, and they have little crowns.
And we'll post pictures of those on the Twitter.
Yeah,
as well.
And maybe if you send us an email requesting one, I'll send you one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do it.
If you want an "Induct the Divas" temporary tattoo, I will send you one.
I'm wearing five right now.
Yeah,
yeah. It honestly looks hot.
And so, thank you, Lindsay, loyal listener, loyal friend.
Great, thank you, Lindsay. You can find me at JoeKJoeK on Twitter. I'm in Cleveland on the day that this drops. I'm at the Accidental Comedy Festival on the 31st of August, the 1st and 2nd of September. You can find those links on my Twitter, but I'm in Cleveland.
Is that where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
is? That is where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is. So I'll be setting up shop there probably on Saturday. I feel like I'll spend a lot of time there. I've not been there.
Open office hours.
Yeah, right. Okay, come on by. Maybe I shouldn't say
go
that.
Go yell at Joe.
Please rate and review us on iTunes. That's really helpful. Subscribe also. And we want to thank Ted Tremper, Liz Full, Natalie Garcia Mayor, and Betts the Dog for opening their doors to their home and letting us record in here. We also want to thank Yusu Kim for giving us the music that you have heard throughout the episode. I want to thank Mike Lloyd for giving us our beautiful
Mike
logo.
Lloyd.
We don't bring him up nearly enough, but he made a great logo
for
us.
He's a good dude in general, and
future,
he made a great logo.
Future Rock Legends for giving us the information that allows this podcast to exist. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I'm Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Studdard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?